Nan Balat liked killing things. Not people, never people, but animals, those he could kill. Particularly the little ones. He wasn't sure why it made him feel better. It simply did. He sat on the porch of his mansion, pulling the legs off a small crab one at a time. There was a satisfying rip to each one. He pulled on it lightly at first, and the animal grew stiff. Then he pulled harder, and it began to squirm. The ligament resisted, then started ripping. The crab squirmed some more, and Nan Balat held up the leg, pinching the beast with two fingers on his other hand. Ripping a leg free soothed him, made the aches in his body retreat. He tossed the leg over his shoulder and moved on to the next one. He didn't like to talk about this habit. He didn't even speak of it to Elita. It was just something he did. You had to keep your sanity somehow. He finished with the legs, then stood up, leaning on his cane, looking out over the Dvar gardens, which were made up of stonework walls covered with different kinds of vines. They were beautiful, though Shallan had been the only one who truly appreciated them. This area of Yarkaved, to the west and south of Alefkar, of higher elevation and broken by mountains such as the Horn-Eater Peaks, had a profusion of vines. They grew on everything, covering the mansion, growing over the steps. Out in the wilds, they hung from trees, grew over rocky expanses, as ubiquitous as grass was in the other areas of Roshar.
Some wild songlings were out scraping their ridge shells to produce their familiar sound.
Balat walked to the edge of the porch and walked down the steps one at a time, the vines shaking and pulling away before his feet fell. It had been nearly 6 months since Shallan's departure. This morning they'd had word from her via Spanreed that she'd succeeded in the first part of her plan, becoming Yasna Kalin's ward. And so, his baby sister, who before this had never left their estates, was preparing to rob the most important woman in the world. Walking down the steps was depressingly hard work for him.
23 years old and already a cripple.
He still felt a constant latent ache. The break had been bad and the surgeon had nearly decided to cut off the entire leg. Perhaps he could be thankful that that hadn't proven necessary, though he would always walk with a cane. Skrak was playing with something in the sitting green, a place where cultivated grass was grown and kept free of vines. The large axe-hound rolled about, gnawing at the object, antennae pulled back flat against her skull.
Skrak, what have you got there, girl?
The axe-hound looked up at her master, antennae cocking upward. The hound went back to playing.
Blasted creature. Never would obey properly.
Lot had been breeding axe-hounds since his youth, and had discovered, as had many before him, that the smarter an animal was, the more likely it was to disobey. Oh, Skrak was loyal, but she'd ignore you on the little things, like a young child trying to prove her independence. As he got closer, he saw that Skrak had managed to catch a songling. The fist-sized creature was shaped like a peaked disc, with four arms that reached out from the sides and scraped rhythms along the top. Four squat legs underneath normally held it to a rock wall, though Skrak had chewed those off. She had two of the arms off, too, and had managed to crack the shell. Balat almost took it away to pull the other two arms off, but decided it was best to let Skrak have her fun. Skrak set the songling down and looked up at Balat, her antennae rising inquisitively. She was sleek and lean, six legs extended before her as she sat on her haunches. Axe-hounds didn't have shells or skin. Instead, their body was covered with some fusion of the two, smooth to the touch and more pliable than true carapace, but harder than skin and made of interlocking sections. The axe-hound's angular face seemed curious, her deep black eyes regarding Balat. Balat smiled, reaching down and scratching behind the axe-hound's ear holes. The animal leaned against him. She probably weighed as much as he did. The bigger axe-hounds came up to a man's waist, though Skrak was of smaller, quicker breed. The songling quivered, and Skrak pounced on it eagerly, crunching at its shell with her strong outer mandibles.
Am I a coward, Skrak?
Balat sat down on a bench, He set his cane aside and snatched a small crab that had been hiding on the side of the bench, its shell having turned white to match the stone. He held up the squirming animal. The green's grass had been bred to be less timid, and it poked out of its holes only a few moments after he passed. Other exotic plants bloomed, poking out of shells or holes in the ground, and soon patches of red, orange, and blue waved in the wind around him. The area around the axe hound remained bare, of course. Scrack was having far too much fun with her prey, and she kept even the cultivated plants hidden in their burrows.
I couldn't have gone to chase Yasna.
Balat started to pull the crab's legs off.
Only a woman could get close enough to her to steal the soul caster. We decided that. Besides, someone needs to stay back and care for the needs of the house.
The excuses were hollow. He did feel like a coward. He pulled off a few more legs, but it was unsatisfying. The crab was too small, and the legs came off too easily.
This plan probably won't even work.
He took off the last of the legs. Odd, looking at a creature like this when it had no legs. The crab was still alive. Yet, how could you know it? Without the legs to wiggle, the creature seemed as dead as a stone.
The arms. We wave them about to make us seem alive. That's what they're good for.
He put his fingers between the halves of the crab's shell and began to pry them apart. This, at least, had a nice feeling of resistance to it. They were a broken family. Years of suffering their father's brutal temper had driven Asha Jushu to vice and Tet Wikim to despair. Only Balat had escaped unscathed. Balat and Shallan. She'd been left alone, never touched. At times, Balat had hated her for that. But how could you truly hate someone like Shallan? Shy, quiet, delicate.
I should never have let her go.
There should have been another way. She'd never manage on her own. She was probably terrified. It was a wonder she'd done as much as she had. He tossed the pieces of crab over his shoulder. If only Helleran had survived. Their eldest brother, then known as Nan Helleran, as he'd been the first son, had stood up to their father repeatedly.
Well, he's dead now, and so is our father. And they've left behind a family of cripples.
Balat!
Wakim appeared on the porch. The younger man was past his recent bout of melancholy, it appeared.
What?
Wakim rushed down the steps, hurrying up to him.
We have a problem.
How large a problem?
Pretty big, I'd say. Come on,